AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Welcome to Beyond the Scenes, the podcast that goes deeper into topics and segments that normally air on The Daily Show. This is what you got to think about this podcast as. All right. So, like, we like eggs, right? Everybody loves an egg. This is an omelet. You got the eggs, that's The Daily Show, but then we come in and we give you a little, we sprinkle in some crumbled up sausage, we put in some green peppers, we put in onion, cheese, all types of stuff to make something even better for you. Today is kind of a different type of episode. This is a topic we haven't had a chance to get into on The Daily Show just yet, but we want to talk about the White House Correspondents' Dinner that I had the pleasure of hosting not too long ago. And I want to get into it with some of the writers so we can go into, I guess, showing you all the process of what it's like creating that type of script, what it's like creating that type of show. And you know what? I think it would be a joy if we first heard a couple of clips from the Correspondents' Dinner before we get into everything. Roll the clip!
Y'all look good. You dress nice. You got the nice threads on. You got the jewelry glistening. Look like everybody got a little piece of that settlement money from Fox News. And that's all I have to say about that, because I'm not going to have dominion on my ass. I love dominion. Matter of fact, let me just say right now, my favorite voting machine is Dominion voting machines. When I go to the polls, I make sure it is a Dominion machine that I use. If your election needs the truth, put Dominion in your booth. You should be inspired by the events in France. They rioted when the retirement age went up 2 years to 64. They rioted because they didn't want to work till 64. Meanwhile, in America, we have an 80-year-old man begging us for 4 more years of work. Begging.
Okay, so those were some of the highlights. We might even get into a few more a little later on in the show. Before I get the writers in here and add them to the program, let me just say that politics is crazy in this world and things change so fast. Like, as a performer, you cannot do this without writers. Last week, Don Lemon got fired, Tucker Carlson got fired. There was all the stuff with the Fox Dominion vote settlement. And then this week, smartly CNN, well played, announced after the Correspondents' Dinner that they are going to have Donald Trump on their network doing a town hall. So, yo, man, if the Correspondents' Dinner was a couple days away, yo, it would have been a whole different situation. So when you're in a media landscape where things are changing so fast, it's hard to always find a joke that hits what is basically a constantly moving target of the American zeitgeist. So it's my pleasure to talk a little bit about this today. We're going to answer a couple questions. I know some people have some stuff in my social media comments about the Correspondents' Dinner, so maybe we'll get to some of that. But first, let's meet the writers. With me in the studio, I'm joined by Daily Show writer David Angelo. Hello, David.
Hey, Roy, it's great to be here today. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. I'm joined by another writer that wrote with me on the Correspondents' Dinner. He was formerly a writer for The Nightly Show on this beautiful, beautiful Paramount Plus network. He was a wonderful working stand-up comedian as well. Felonious Monk, how you doing?
I'm here. Yes.
That is the blackest answer I've ever heard. Like, how you doing?
I'm trying to get like you, Roy.
I'm here. You know, I woke up and I ain't get shot yet.
You know, Chicago. I got two. My back hurt a little bit, but you know, I'm making it out here.
And also joining us, I don't know if she's still an investigative reporter, former writer for The Daily Show, Christiana Mbakwe Medina, who was our head writer. How you doing, Christiana?
Hi, Roy. I'm great. How are you?
So let's unpack this because I've been tweeted a bunch of actually, I've been tweeted a lot of shit I can't read on the air. but I have been sent a couple of questions that I think people had about the actual writing process in the assembly of the Correspondents' Dinner, because I've never been on the inside of this at all. I can't speak to the three of you. Angela, I don't know if you've written on any of them in the past or anything.
Yeah, I did with Hassan and with Trevor.
What was that like? What would you say is the difference then between the three processes? Because I don't know how to approach this. Like, because to me, the thing that was weird was that I've never used writers for stand-up.
Right.
Like, I use writers in the show, so there's some degree of trust. But when I got the call about this, Christiana was literally the first person I called because I'm like, all right, I know we can find funny people, but you usually had arguments within The Daily Show that I agreed with, that were fair, like building the actual structure and the North Star of it. So for me, I wanted to build from what am I trying to say, and now how can I make that funny, which is how I build my stand-up. But like with Hassan and Trevor, like, was the construction process the same, or was it like?
I mean, everyone was a little different. This one was like probably the least number of people working on it, so I think it went tighter. I think everything was a little more like organized in sync like that. The other one, like Trevor's, there were so many people involved that it was kind of like I didn't really even know what was happening sometimes. It's like, yeah. I was sort of on the periphery. And then Hassan, it was kind of just like, I barely remember, but he had kind of like a head writer, sort of like how Christiane, like he had this guy.
Prashant.
Yeah, Prashant.
Yeah, PV.
And he sort of just kind of would ask for jokes and then we'd get the joke. It wasn't that different from this one, actually. It was kind of the same sort of thing.
Yeah, I had no idea what to put together. And then Felonious, I always respected you. You one of them comedians, man, where I don't even remember where the fuck we met. Like, it's like it was before you were at Nightly Show. I feel like we were parlaying on Twitter some, but then it's possible that we just bumped shoulders at some points around the Chicago comedy scene where you started out. But you always had takes and angles on The Nightly Show that were, like, very black. Like, y'all got to dig in the crates and find some of Monk shit. And I'm like, okay, I know I'm going to need some of that in the script at some point as well. And also, the way you look at politics from the perspective of a black man, which I am, it was, I don't know, I just felt like it was essential. But like in terms of like writing for Larry Wilmore, who ultimately did the Correspondents' Dinner as well, around that there was some overlap in the time that you were at The Nightly Show. Did Wilmore talk at all about this process?
Not really, but I will say one of the segments that I was able to do with Larry, we made light of him calling former President Obama I can say the N-word? Can I say the N-word?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I can say nigga. He called him nigga. We had a play off of that in a segment that I did where I said, you know, you my brother of sub-Saharan content. And he was like, wait, did you just call me? I was like, yeah, I called you my nigga. The idea for me is, you know, we make fun of all of these spaces being extremely, you know, centered on white men. But we have people of color in the room. The issue is always that we're writing for a specific voice, and I can't make Jimmy Kimmel say nigga. You know what I mean? You couldn't get John Stewart to say nigga. So when you're pitching jokes, you have to think about the person who's saying the joke. So this was fun for me because I was talking to a guy over 40 who had experiences in the South and in the North, who knew, you know, what it was like to do this room full of people who may not look like you, but still want to sound like yourself. Mm-hmm. So that part to me was, you know, was reminiscent of the Nightly Show, because that's, I think, what Larry Wilmore did. He presented the same format that everyone else had presented. He just tried to do it with a little bit of color.
So, Christiana, having taken everybody's jokes, and then let me just give the viewers an understanding of me and Christiana's relationship over the last 2 weeks. Because really, if we're being real about this, we wrote this on a 3-week runway.
It was quick. This was the quickest turnaround of the three of them.
It was quick.
I feel like we had some loose suggestions a month out. But the problem was that my guest hosting week for Daily Show ran 3 weeks before this, and I was so focused on getting ready for content and stuff and segments for my guest week, I couldn't split my mind into two partitions. I just go, fuck it. The day after Friday morning after guest hosting, we're going to really dig in. And I started, the process was essentially I would take whatever we had written in a big Google Doc that we were all sharing with the other writers, and I would take that and boil that down to a little bit of verbiage, take that out into the comedy clubs at night. Whatever didn't work, that's what I would change in the script, send that to Christiana. She would look at it in the morning, get it back to the writers, who would do punch up. And by the time I looked at the script again at 8 o'clock at night, I could rejigger everything and then go back out from 11 o'clock to 1 in the morning. So I was essentially sleeping, I don't know, probably 3-4 hours a night. And then Angelo was kind enough to come out on one of those nights and kind of give tweaks and move stuff around. But it was a lot of just Christiana and you know, sending the audio to Christiana of every single show that I did and just agreeing like what joke worked, what didn't work, what the crowd didn't respond to, and then just going from there. But what are your, from what we constructed, Christiana, what are some of your takeaways from the correspondence dinner?
You know, it's so interesting when, like, our initial conversation a couple months back, was it February, right? I can't even, like, time means nothing to me right now. It was, we had all of these people we wanted to hit. We were like, oh, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and we should do some TJ Holmes and Amy, and we should, like, they, because they were in the zeitgeist, they were in the news so prominently. And it was kind of like the gift and the curse. We just kept getting the gift of big news. That meant we would just have to just rip up what we had, or, you know, what we were trying to say. And then obviously, you know, the Trump arrangement happened and that changed a lot, I think. And then,
yeah, that Elon Musk joke got pushed Monday. Real fast.
Yeah, Elon just seemed irrelevant, what was happening at Elon and Twitter. Even though when you got the gig, it was a pretty big story, is what everyone was talking about. And then Bloody Monday, where Tucker and Don lost their jobs, it was just like, there's no way we can't open with Fox Dominion and into these massive firings. So I'm happy with how it went, but the reshuffling and the resyncing and listening to the audio, and then it's funny because I was listening to all of it so religiously, what would get a hard laugh like the week before, in light of everything that happened the next week, kind of like, oh, we don't really care about that. You know, you could just feel the temperature changing as the news cycle went. So it was like a real gift, but it just meant that we were messaging you on WhatsApp literally while you were sitting.
Y'all, yeah, we'll get to that in a little bit. We'll get to that in a little bit. Let's watch a clip real quick from the correspondence dinner.
Y'all give it up for Dark Brandon.
Oh, this joke. Oh, shit.
I'm happy to be here. Oh, real quick, Mr. President, I think you left some of your classified documents up here. You can get to them. Yeah. Yeah, no, don't give them to him. I'll put them in a safe place. He don't know where to keep them.
We never ran that joke.
Yeah.
Dark Brandon?
The document joke?
Yeah. No, Dark Brandon. Yeah, the document joke. Never ran it.
No, I saw. Never. I remember watching that and thinking, I don't recall that in the document. He's freestyling.
No. Like, that was...
He pitched it in the day, right, Roy? You were like...
Yeah.
Because both the Property Brothers showed
up. That's what happened.
With our
that's
whole right. thing.
So for the people who don't know, the White House Correspondents Association gives us a list of the confirmed guests, but you don't know who's going to show up or not. And we were told from the jump there would only be one property brother, only one property brother. So the initial opening line was, "Greetings, distinguished members of the media, our greatest leaders, and a property brother." And then I go down to COVID testing that morning. I fucking see the other property brother. And I'm like, you got to be shitting me. What the fuck are we going to, how do we, like.
Yeah, threw a wrench in.
Yeah, so we start trying to figure out a new open. And that's what we ended up coming up with. And that ended up being way funnier.
Way funnier.
Than the property brother line. Then I find out from one of our other writers, Matt Nagrin, that Dr. Fauci was there. Because there, you all are at the table or whatever, just checking Twitter and looking at stuff. And they're sending me jokes in real time at the table. They go, Fauci's here. And I go, oh, perfect. We'll sneak him in behind the property brother joke. And just fucking go from there.
So it's a pleasure to be here amongst our country's greatest leaders, distinguished media organizations, both property brothers and Dr. Fauci. If you see Fauci, take a picture with him. That's your new booster shot.
All right, after the break, I guess we should talk more about the actual night and the jokes and the people. And I guess I should tell y'all, I'll tell you who loves me now.
Ooh.
I tell you,
that's a tease. I'm saying it for after the break.
And it's not, you will not guess this person. Fucking loves me. You don't even fucking.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. The, I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. Kings Island is now open on weekends.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
I understand. It's Beyond the Scenes. We'll be right back. Beyond the Scenes, we are back. We're talking about the White House Correspondents' Dinner, which I had the honor of being a part of. And we're here with some of the writers and head writer from that evening. Before we do anything else, let's just go into a quick clip of some of the best jokes from that evening. And then I want to come back and get y'all's opinion. I want to go around the horn and find out which joke that y'all think was going to bomb. One of them did bomb. This ain't hating on another writer. First, the clip.
The untouchable Tucker Carlson is out of a job. Yeah. Okay. Some people celebrate it. But to Tucker's staff, I want you to know that I know what you're feeling. I work at The Daily Show, so I too have been blindsided by the sudden departure of the host of a fake news program. But can we just all acknowledge, can we just all be honest and just say that the Trump arrest didn't hit like we thought it was gonna hit? We're so desensitized to scandals now. That Trump arrest, it didn't do what I thought it was gonna do. The Trump arrest was like a pot brownie you ate 4 hours ago. And you're like, do I feel justice? This don't feel like justice. Let me try one of them Georgia arraignment brownies. Maybe that'll hit. Okay, that's got some kick to it. I think Republicans, y'all would be surprised, man, if y'all would just be real about what CRT is. You'd be surprised. Some black folks might meet you halfway. But you got to tell the truth. You can't lie to black people. Call it what it is. Anti-CRT policies are an attack on black history and an attempt to erase the contributions of black people from the history books. That's what it is. You are trying to erase black people, and a lot of black people wouldn't mind some of that erasure as long as that black person is Clarence Thomas.
Okay, all right. So a lot of good jokes in there. Thank y'all for the assistance. Oh, and also shout out to Matt Nager and Lily Rumpkin. We're talking Kalia. What's Kalia's last name? Our writer's assistant.
Pison.
And Ambria Kalia Allen.
Pison. Ambria Allen. Yeah.
So, of all of the jokes that we did, the joke that I thought would get a laugh or a clap, and it got neither, was the joke about, this is America, we don't make laws, we make a promise to pass a law, then we don't do anything. Like, I thought mm-hmm. that would get something.
It got something in the club.
I warned you, Roy. Roy, I did warn you about that. I did.
If there's one person that could use a scandal, it's Ron DeSantis. That boy is just running around just passing every controversial law he can think of, thinking that's going to activate voters. That's not how you activate voters in this country, Ron. Everybody know how you do politics. This is America. We don't pass laws. You make a promise to voters, and then you don't do it. That's what the great leaders in this room understand. You know how to make things not happen.
I want to say, I was like, Roy.
Then the line was, that's what you all understand. Y'all are the best at not making things happen.
Yeah.
And do you remember the original line, Christiana? Because that was the softer version. The original line was, that's why you're all in this room.
You're the best liars. Because you're the best liar. And I was like, Roy, you can't say
well,
that.
I can't say they're the best liar.
But
saying you're the best at not making it happen.
But I didn't think either would work.
It got nothing. Yeah. It got nothing. And like in my head, as soon as it came out my mouth, I was like, fuck her. She was right.
But you know what, Roy?
You know what I realized? As a comic, you thought, because when I read it, I was like, oh, this is hilarious. Because my brain can only see me performing that joke in a club and making it work. It didn't cross my mind that this wasn't a room that you were going to be able to, with a facial expression or a change in tone, you weren't going to be able to make it work because they were focused on what you were saying more than how you were saying it, which I'm not used to that.
They're also like at a Hilton. They're right. Like five drinks in, right? So like those type of like really nuanced jokes, like...
Right.
I think by the time it landed, they were like, oh, we can't be bothered to laugh. Let me have some more whiskey.
Right.
Like, that was it. That's what I felt it would
be.
Yeah,
and at that point in the night, they were already getting their orders from the CIA for the tomorrow's broadcasts, you know, what they needed to say. So they were distracted. Jeez. Although you did it. You did that joke in the club. I think it worked in the club.
When I called them the best liars in the club, it was great.
Because it wasn't about them, right. Yeah, that
it's
audience.
Constituents. Right. Yeah. It's a constituent joke.
The people liked it. Exactly. You said it to them about them, and they were like, well,
isn't that part of the balance, though? You're playing to the room, but you're also keenly aware that the constituents are watching this, right? You're trying to make the room feel.
Yeah.
But the clips that are going viral aren't necessarily the ones that killed in the room. It's the ones that the constituents connected with the most are the ones that they're repeating.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, that's true.
I want to hear which jokes y'all were like, ugh, I don't know how that one's going to
I'm glad you said that.
I think it's funny.
Oh, my God, I don't even know.
That was one of them, the one that you just mentioned. That I was heavily, that my fingerprints were on. I really was not.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure specifically because I knew that the BMF and the power lines were very specific to a particular demographic, and I didn't think that was a room full of that demographic. But I also thought...
No, the people who watch BMF and Power are very dedicated, but it is not that.
But much. I also... But that was my thinking was, the same way that room won't get the BMF reference, the people who watch BMF won't get the Succession reference, and that's the issue there. But I knew that somebody who... There would be one Power viewer... One BMF watcher who will go, hey, man, they mentioned Big Meech. And that was all I wanted. I felt like you reached out to me specifically for that joke. He was like, put something real specifically black that's only going to be for them 17 people. And that's what we did. So
right after a Vanderpump
rule. Right after Vanderpump.
17 people and 50 Cent.
Which turned it into 1.7 million people.
17 people and 50 Cent. Don't forget, 50 Cent liked it.
17. So yeah, that's what we needed.
But here's the thing. The thing with that, though, was that even with 50 Cent, right, 50 Cent reposted that part of the joke because he's an executive producer and co-creator on those two series. the line after about Biden, we got to replace Tucker Carlson. Millions of Americans don't know why they hate you. And then they cut to Biden's face. I never saw. You got to remember, I'm on stage. I don't see the cutaway shots. I don't see any of that. So Biden's reaction to the joke was almost like a punch up tag to the joke, like in and of itself. Because I didn't know he had this surprised look on his face. Like, what the fuck did you just say?
Tucker got caught up. Got caught up like that dude from Vanderpump Rules. Text message stuff. I don't know what Vanderpump Rules is about. I just watched it a couple of times. My friends told me it's like BMF, but for white people. Or is that secession? No, secession is power for white people. No, Tucker Carlson is power for white people. No, that's white power. You know what? Never mind. Don't worry about that. But don't worry about that. We got to get Tucker back on the air, Mr. President, because right now there's millions of Americans that don't even know why they hate you.
That was an Angelo joke, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
He didn't move for like 2 seconds.
And I knew Biden would be bewildered when he said his name, so I kind of worked it in. That was part of the architecture.
All right, what about you, Angelo? Give me one.
Oh, I was trying to look because I forget. But the I thought everything was. I expected kind of everything to work because we went through it. I think the school shooting one was the most like. The biggest question mark about how they'd respond.
Who gave me the Kanye joke that I didn't do? Because I just didn't want that heat.
I didn't give it to you. That but was I said don't do it.
A blend of me. That, that was a blend of myself and Lily, who is Jewish. No one's about to get me. And then Lily was like, maybe you shouldn't do it.
It worked in the clubs. It worked in the clubs. It was coming off of the BET joke. Mark, I'm not sure if you were on board yet by the time we dropped the Kanye joke, which is probably for the best because you would have tagged it
and made, made it worse. More,
made me even more canceled.
Which you got to say. Yeah,
he would have taken that's it. On me.
But the joke was about, it was coming off of BET. Tyler Perry's thinking about buying BET. And that's how broke these companies are. They're thinking about giving BET back to black people. And then the tag was,
Roy, don't say the joke.
Why not?
Don't say the joke. Just say
how. Okay, right. Say
the joke. Please say the joke.
Here, let me navigate. As a white ally, let me navigate this. Okay. The joke.
Oh my gosh.
Generally speaking, it was, you know, it was a joke about Kanye and his
spat
anti-Semitism,
correct,
which was in the news. And how, like he says, you know, that you all are familiar that the Jews run the media. That was the Kanye thing. And so the joke was about how they were selling it to a black person, and that didn't fit with Kanye's
proving
theories.
That Kanye's theories were wrong.
Like,
See, thank you. See, Christiana, we got through that just fine. We all still got our job.
For now.
But you didn't say it. Angelo did. So I was right.
But yet we felt like we ended up cutting that for length, and then also because the audience does not know me as a comedian. That's the other hurdle I was dealing with, is that even if you only know me from The Daily Show, I know you don't know I'm a stand-up because my first two specials was on the Comedy Central app. And, you know, this is before Paramount Plus saved us and gave us, you know, I'm just being real. Like, so I can't assume that you know my heart as a comedian.
Yeah, and when you're doing all this weird political stuff, like, you don't have the time to make them trust you and what you're saying. Or even before you get to the punchline, they're going to get tense because, you know, how people have, like,
set the buzzword.
Yeah, and then they're already like, oh, we heard this word. You know, so that they just start doing their Pavlovian thing, and it loses the room. That's why I thought, whether it's a point that is good with Kanye and this and that, it's just more like I think in Christiana, you agree. It was just like
perfect.
It was just
joke.
Too much like math for the room for not the payoff.
Come see me live. Yeah. I'll do that.
But
shit
you know what I will say. Watching that process though was interesting for me as a stand up because I don't think about that while I'm doing stand up. I think about whether or not the joke will work. Is the joke funny? Is the joke funny? And do I stand by the joke? And so to kind of see you guys have this insight to what will lose the room. before you do the joke is different for me. But I think you're right. Like hearing the joke, I'm like, the joke is tame. That will kill in a comedy club. But I could see how today was going to be a bunch of, he supports Kanye West, or he made the Jews, and that would have been, that would have been detrimental to what
and
you
it's
accomplished.
Not worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was strategic. Like, what? Where will we lose the room? Because we're going to do that a couple times. So it's just like, so you don't want to do it too many times.
And you want
to
do it.
You have to pick which one.
No, exactly.
If you're going to do it, you want to do it for something better than that particular joke. That's a good joke, but that's not the one you want to lose.
Yeah, then go in a bat for Kanye.
The school shooting joke was a joke where you're like, we're going to lose them, but we're going to say it. That's a, yeah.
Right.
Well, so that's the thing. And it's that thought that we knew there were certain moments where the room would not be behind us. But we felt that the final 25% when Roy did his kumbaya thing, as we started calling it, would bring them back, because then they would be like, see that Roy is rooted in more than just like kind of like comedy and provocative ideas. He kind of comes from
I thought that was the best. I thought that was the most important moment. Of the entire, and I thought it was funny. I thought it was everything. But once I saw that version, because that wasn't the original version I saw in the Google Doc. That was added in last 4 or 5
days.
That's
it evolved. That
and
evolved.
That part was, was big. To me, that changed.
It was a back and forth, right, Roy? Because initially it was I felt it was too long. And I sent it back to Roy with a bunch of cuts.
Yeah, it was too emotional.
I was like, I love the mom stuff, but we need to figure out the dad stuff. But the way it was compressed people came away feeling like, oh, he really sincerely cares. And then it tied into the broader theme of like these scandals and the fact that, you know, what's going on with the press that we're not necessarily talking about. But I was just concerned, especially since that BET joke was so up top. It was like one of the opening after like just a greeting. I was like, yo, if he loses them at that point, then you bomb.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm aware that we're playing to different constituencies. And my feeling was, whatever goes viral, if the clip is a room full of people not laughing, then it's just like...
It's you bombing.
You're bombing. Even if the person watching it is like, this BMF joke is hilarious. But if no one's laughing, it's like, is it funny? And I just... didn't want that. And it was hard because we're constantly doing those calculations of like, okay, we're playing to the room, and in the room there's like this big ideological division. You know, there's the politicians and then there's the press. Then you got someone from Vanderpump Rules and the people at home. Like, I'm a Bravo fanatic. So I was trying to get a Housewives or Vanderpump Rules in there somewhere. But like the rest of the room don't know what the hell that is. You know, so it was just like, and we're like, oh yeah. And then we want the people in the Shade Room to have something that they laugh about. That was like, we had a Shade Room joke in there initially, Roy, remember?
We had,
but that we lost that.
We lost it for time, but then Shade Room picked up the Kamala joke. Okay, after the break, I will wrap up this conversation with some of my wonderful, wonderful writers from the White House Correspondents' Dinner and the lovely,
What kind of fun is waiting for you at King's Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. The I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at King's Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. King's Island is now open on weekends.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Nobody call it a speech. It's a...
What kind of fun is waiting for you at King's Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun.
the I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. Kings Island is now open on weekends.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Performance. We'll be right back. As we wrap up here, because I don't want to hold you all up, I'm going to tell you the one person who loved the set that I was shocked, but then it could be the bridge we need to bring the correspondence dinner back to being a beautiful bipartisan evening of roasting. At the CBS party, Kellyanne Conway.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Loved it. And I don't know if that's success or failure.
We don't know what.
She's newly single, Royce.
Yeah, I was going to say.
She loved you.
Yeah, might not have had anything to do with the show.
Kellyanne, what's up,
girl? Yeah. She likes a bit of color, so, you know.
Or should I call you? Should I call you
that note? He's going to rap.
Yeah, that's.
See, now y'all done twisted it into something freaky. That's enough. Somebody asked me this earlier. Would you do this again?
Depends on who the host is. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Depends on who the host is, I would.
Oh no, if it's you, yes, but I'm not doing this again.
Okay. Said, oh no, for you. Yes, I'll do it for you. You for somebody else?
Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you so much, David Angelo, Christiana Mbakwe Medina, and thank you, Felonious Monk. Thank you all for going behind the scenes with me. See you next time. Listen to The Daily Show Beyond the Scenes on Apple Podcasts, the iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. The, I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. Kings Island is now open on weekends.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.